ॐ शुक्लां भरतरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ out of the 1000 namas of Mahavishnu, we have seen up to 307th nama. The last nama, 307th, that we saw is Anantajit. Anantajit means one who is victorious at all times. One who is victorious over everything. One who, being endowed with all powers, is victorious at all times over everything. See, everything is a product of Maya. And Maya is the inherent power in Ishvara. So Ishvara supersedes Maya. So anything that comes out of Maya cannot have any effect over Ishvara. Ishvara controls Maya and not the other way around. Whereas the Jivas that are products of Maya are controlled by Maya. So therefore, in Vedanta we study, the individual through the Vedic studies, when he or she understands this, should surrender to Ishvara. Surrendering to Ishvara, you control Maya. So when he says Ananta Jit, he overcomes everything at all times, because everything is nothing but the variety that has come out of Maya, which is subservient to Ishvara. Ishvara is here personified as Mahavishnu. So therefore, Ananta Jite, one who, being endowed with all powers, is victorious at all times over everything. So in other words, when you identify with Brahman or Ishvara or Mahavishnu, then you can deal with the samsara effectively. You will always be victorious, which means in success and failure, in pleasure and pain, in joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, you will always be a winner. Neither victory nor defeat can defeat you. Many of us get defeated by victory. We may sometimes find some kind of a balance during defeat. But when we are victorious, how balanced are we? Most of us succumb to victory, isn't it? So therefore, a winner is one who is balanced both. So Ananta Jite, one who is always victorious over everything that comes out of Maya. So this is what the crux of Vedanta philosophy is. You've got to conquer the mind. From the individual angle, the mind from the total angle we call Maya. So therefore, the real success is when you conquer your mind. There are many, many definitions of success given. Who is successful? You know, each one gives their own definition of success. But truly speaking, you are successful to the extent you conquer your mind. Dusron ko jai se pehle, khud ko jai kare. How you are able to control and direct your mind? That is something that you don't gain that knowledge in schools and colleges. This is what Vedanta talks about. So even the intelligence you have, which you have gained from schools and colleges, or from your experience, can become handy to you, will become useful to you in the context, only to the extent you are able to control your mind. Take for example the situation that we are in now, this pandemic. Now, you may be well informed in one or more subjects, extremely intelligent. But if, you know, somebody is tested positive, and then even there, you know, supposing the oxygen levels are going down and this and that, then they say you need to be hospitalized. When this kind of situation happens, how balanced are you able to be able to use your intelligence for the benefit of one and all? So therefore, the real success is in controlling and directing your own mind. So, Ananta Jitra, one who has control over the mind and everything in this world. Next, we'll continue. Next shloka. Ishto Vishishta Shishteshkaha Shikandi Nahu Shovrishaha Rodaha Kroda Krittartaha Vishwabahur Mahidaraha Ishto Vishishta Shishteshkaha Shikandi Nahu Shovrishaha Krodaha Kroda Krittartaha Vishwabahur Mahidaraha Ishtaha. One who is dear to all because he is of the nature of supreme bliss. So Ishtaha means the beloved. Now supreme self is indicated in the Shastra as Satchit Ananda. And that ultimate bliss, it is not the joy that one gets when one fulfills the desire. It is the, you know, when you fulfill the desire, you get X amount of joy. That's temporary. But the bliss, which is the original nature of every being, which is Brahman, is Akhandananda, which is infinite bliss, unbroken bliss. So, who doesn't like bliss? In fact, everything that we do is only to attain that bliss. But due to our ignorance, we assume that that bliss can be found in the objects and beings of the world. Therefore, we are running after the objects and beings of the world. And temporarily, when our desires are fulfilled, we experience some joy. And we mistake that joy for that absolute bliss. And we continue chasing the objects and beings permanently. And we produce more and more vasanas. And we get caught in this cycle. So, a person who gains the knowledge understands that the bliss that I am seeking is my original nature. It cannot be found in the outside objects and beings. It is my original nature. Then that would be the real thing that you would be loving. So therefore, Ishtaha, the beloved. So being the highest bliss, everybody really wants to experience that bliss only. But due to ignorance, we are all running after the outside world. So, therefore we say, Shastra, by educating us on this, it gives us a direction. See, the efforts, everything you got to continue, like you are continuing in the world outside. Only problem is, direction is wrong. So all that Shastra does is, it gives us the right direction in life. So therefore, he says, once a person gains the knowledge, then Ishvara or Mahavishnu is the beloved. They don't like this world. They don't like this world in the sense, world only offers things which are impermanent. So, it is not the impermanence that I am seeking. I am seeking the permanent aspect. Therefore, Ishtaha. And all of us sacrifice to Ishta Devata, isn't it? When we perform Yajna, we sacrifice to a particular devata who by getting satisfied from our offering will bless us with the desired objects. So, all that we are actually looking for is fulfillment of desires by which we are really seeking is bliss. So, when we offer to that devata, why are we offering, why are we worshipping the devata through the sacrifice? For the joy. Therefore, actually, what we want is not the object. What we want is bliss. If you are promised the object, but not the bliss, you would not want that object. I want the object, and I want the object to give me bliss, and I want the object to give me bliss all the time. That is the problem. When I am seeking something, I want that. For what purpose? For bliss. And what kind of bliss? Akantananda. The bliss should always be with me. Therefore, really speaking, what is Ishta for every being? The Lord. Therefore, the Nama of Lord is Ishta, the beloved or the dear one. Avishishtaha, one who resides within all. Indweller, Antaryami in all. He is special, being superior to all, because he dwells within every being. At the same time, he is beyond this world as well. Avishishtaha. So where can you find that beloved within you? In Tamil, there is a beautiful song. It says, Irukkum idathai vittu illada idam nokki engengo alaigindrar jnanathandam. Means, you are leaving the place where God resides and running after all other places. This is what the poem Pineapple and the Pea also says. The pineapple wasted half its life. He wasted half of his life trying to enter the glass case to eat the pineapple. Similarly, we are wasting all our life, or at least 50, 60 years of our life, trying to find it in the world. So, he says, that bliss, Ishta, the beloved, is the indweller in every being. Avishishta. So, you got to find it within you. You got to go within and find that Supreme Brahman who resides within one and all. So when we go to the temple, mandir, mosque, everything, it is for us to go within. See, today, it's called as Vaikuntha Ekadashi. Ekadashi means 11th day. The two Ekadashis that come in a month. Before Amavasya and before Purnami. Right? So, in this month, the Ekadashi, Vaikuntha Ekadashi is very special in Vaishnava Sampradaya. So in all these temples here in Vishnu Mandirs, they will have a gate opened, you know. When you enter the gate, it's like entering Vaikunth. Huge crowd will be there. Everybody wants to enter that Vaikunth. But what they don't understand is, that Vaikuntha is within you. The Lord is residing within you. Narayana resides within each one of us. Avishishtaha. So when you have in this tradition to go to the mandir and do all this, these are all practices to establish our mind in divinity so that we become more consistent in our path to reach the divinity within. So when we reach the divinity within, then we realize the divinity is flashed everywhere. The next nama is Sishteshtaha. Sishteshtaha means loved by the learned. So now when he said Ishta, the dear one, you say, yeah, not if he is the real dear one, everybody must be seeking him. But many people are only seeking the world. Why? Because they are children. They are grown up children. That's all. You know, when you, in one hand, on a birthday of a child, supposing on your grandchild's birthday, on one palm you are having a candy. You know, Kit Kat. Having a chocolate, Kit Kat. On the other hand, we're giving the check for 1 million rupees. Which one the child will pick up? Child will only pick up the Kit Kat. Child thinks this is just a piece of paper, useless. So, but the mother wants to pick up the check. So the same thing is happening here. When you learn, when you develop vairagya, that's why we say, thodasa experience in the world also should be there. You know, in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji gives the example of making curd for converting knowledge into wisdom. How to convert knowledge into wisdom? He says it is akin to the process of making curd, yogurt. The milk should be lukewarm condition, neither too cold nor too hot. To that milk, you add little bit of jamun. Leave it overnight. Next day morning, it will turn into curd. Then you churn the curd and separate the butter from the curd and preserve the butter in water. Nowadays in fridge. So what is the process explaining here? The milk represents the sattvic mind, a balanced state of mind. And it should not be too hot nor too cold, meaning not tamasic nor rajasic, which means sattvic mind. Some experience you should have, warm, you know, too much experience, rajasic fellow all the time in the world, his mind is not available. Even when you are sitting in the class, now especially, we are having this online class for the last almost 2 years now. And I'm, you know, only you all can see me, I can't see any of you, because none of you are in the video. I don't know, you may be playing with your mobile or talking to somebody. It can happen, right? Now, if you are too rajasic and the mind is caught up in these experiences of the world, then also the knowledge that you are gaining does not get converted to wisdom. Nor if you are too tamasic, then also it doesn't. Therefore, the sattvic mind, which has some experience of the world, in that mind, when the knowledge is added on a daily basis in the early hours of the day, and leave it to settle the whole day. And when you do it on a daily basis, slowly the mind, the sattvic mind, takes in the knowledge and establishes itself in that knowledge and develops tremendous vairagya towards the world. Vairagya in the sense, you understand that the objects and beings of this world, however valuable it may be amongst the worldly people, they all come under only one category. What is that category? Two categories, permanent, impermanent. So this comes under impermanent category. Anything that you get in this world is impermanent category. So when I understand that, then will I have interest for that? So then I become like that mother who says, pick up the check. Till then I'm like the child who's picking up the Kit Kat chocolate. So till that knowledge gets converted. So once I've converted the knowledge into wisdom, then by the process of negation and assertion, it is churning the curd, you know. Negate the world, assert the self. Negate the world, assert the self. And when I do that, then what happens? The butter, the real cream knowledge, the self separates from the curd. And that self is preserved through the scriptures and traditional practices. And it's passed on from one generation to another. That's why they put butter in water. Same way, these traditional practices. And, you know, like for example, Swami Chinmayanandaji started this practice of weekly study classes. Through that, this knowledge is passed on. This is the idea. So to the extent that Guru has done the sadhana and removed the butter, separated the butter from the total, then he, through the traditional practices, passes it on through the to the other generation. So, therefore, shishteshtaha, shishta ishtaha. So when, therefore he says, you know, Adi Shankara says, for the learned, he is the beloved, loved by the learned. And he also loves the learned. He also loves the learned in the sense he it's not that he doesn't love the worldly people. He understands that they are all caught up. So it's very difficult, you know, to be able to climb all the peaks and then come to the ultimate peak. It's not easy. So therefore, he says, Sishteshtaha. And then, Shikandi. Shikandi means decorated with peacock feathers. This is referring to Sri Krishna as a cowherd boy. Now, you've seen the pictures of Sri Krishna with the peacock feather. So, Shikandi. This nama refers to Sri Krishna, the avatara, who everybody loves. You know, always he is surrounded by gopis. He is attractive because he has no expectations. See, any child attracts everybody because child has no expectation, nothing that child wants. Similarly, Sri Krishna is very attractive because he doesn't want anything. So decorated with peacock feathers. Nahushaha, the confounder of beings through his illusive power. One who binds all beings by the maya. Word naha means bondage. So through maya, he is bound as all of us. The illusive power is maya, which is inherent in Brahman, inherent in Ishwar. So when the illusive power expresses, we are all in maya. Means in our own world, each one is caught. We think this objects and beings are real. And we chase, we continue running. This tamasha continues. So, Nahushaha, one who binds all beings by the power of maya. Maya is the inherent power in Ishwara. So when Ishwara identifies with the power, the creation of the world happens. Like in each one of us, there is, like for example, Rita Ji is in the class today. There is this talent and desire to paint which is inherent in her. Right? So when, now she is not having, now she is not identified with the painting. I hope not. You understand? So that she is attentive in the class. When she identifies with that painting talent or desire, then she creates the painting. So the painting talent is inherent in her. So when she identifies the manifestation, the painting happens. Similarly, maya is inherent potential in Ishwara. When Ishwara identifies with it, then the creation comes about. So once he identifies with that maya and the creation comes, all the beings of the creation are coming under the illusive power. They are all confounded. They are all lost in the worlds projected by their mind and senses. Each one of us, we are confounded, confined within this world that we experience through the senses and mind. That's what he means by the nama Nahushaha. Vrishaha, one who is of the form of dharma. Vrisha means dharma. So he is dharma. Now if you follow dharma, if you dharmically continue living in this world, then your desires which are dharmic will be fulfilled. So therefore, the nama of Vishnu is dharma or vrishaha. Krodaha. Krodaha means one who eradicates anger as the awareness increases in us. The anger, jealousy, greed, lust, everything will be destroyed. So destroyer of anger in good men. So, in other words, you cannot lose your temper. You will be using your temper. Swamiji always mentions in his lectures, do not lose your temper, use your temper. The capacity to fight adharma is there. When dharma is overpowered by adharma anywhere, you have the capacity to fight with it. But you keep that emotion under your control and direct because of the awareness. So whenever the awareness increases in a person, all the negative emotions gets destroyed. They come under the control of the person. So destroyer of anger in good men, good people, one who eradicates anger in virtuous people. Rodaha. They They even direct the energy, anger. See, anger is nothing but energy, right? It's unfortunate that people, when they become angry, it destroys them and the surroundings. It has become destructive energy. But when a person is aware, he uses that energy for the good. Now, atomic energy, nuclear power is there. Now, nuclear power, when it is in the hands of a knowledgeable person who has control over himself, it will be used for the welfare of the world. If it is in the hands of an ignorant fellow who has no control over himself, it will be used for the destruction of the world and oneself. So, krodaha, destroyer of anger in good men. Meaning, when you follow dharma, when you put in effort to move from tamas to rajas to sattva, slowly, slowly you will find all the negative emotions come under control. Therefore, Vishnu is called as krodaha. Krodakrat kartaha. The creator or agent of anger in wicked men. So when he said in the good people he destroys anger, in the wicked people he is the one who creates anger. In the wicked person, one who generates krodha, anger in the wicked people, in evil people. What it means, he creates doesn't mean he has a motive. The self is used wrongly by them. That's all. That's why I gave the example of ignorant fellow wielding power over the nuclear power and all that. He will be using it for destruction. So the Atma enlivens everybody's mind. But a person who is knowledgeable uses the Atma's enlivening capacity. Whereas the ignorant fellow abuses. Therefore he says, the creator of anger, the agent called anger, in the wicked people. And wicked people think they are destroying the world from using their anger. Actually, they destroy themselves. Thiruvalluvar beautifully says in Tamil literature, Thirukkural, he says, Sinam ennum serndare kolli, inam ennum emap punayai chudum. Means what? Sinam means anger. It actually destroys the one who has it first. Ujjaya finished him off. Nicely gave it to him. Kick, you know, kicked him. You get a kick out of it. But actually you get kicked. So therefore, it's the foolish, ignorant people who think they are actually destroying the world. They actually destroy themselves. Vishwabahu. One who is the supporter of all. One who is the support of all with arms on all sides is another Bahu, Vishwa Bahu. One who has arms on all sides. So he is the support of every being. One who has got all beings as his arms. The entire world through which he functions. You know, they say, you know, it's one arm of the government. This department is the arm of the government. So government has many different departments, different arms through which the government functions. So the self functions through all of us. Isn't it? Each one of us are actually drawing the capacity from the self and acting. So therefore all of us are arms of the Atma, are arms of Vishnu. So Vishwa Bahu. See, these are all beautiful namas which develop attitude in us, proper attitude in us. Then we understand that I am a spoke in the wheel of life. You know, one of the things, main thing in Vaishnava Sampradaya is surrender. You know, they talk about surrender a lot in Vaishnava Sampradaya. This ego should be surrendered at the feet of the Lord. And when the ego is dissolved, what remains is Paramatma, the divinity. So, they talk about prapatti. Prapatti also means surrender in Vaishnava Sampradaya. But you see, in Tamil Nadu and all, they have shank and chakra put on their, what do you call, the top of the shoulder. You know, they have the shank and chakra already stamped. Like people have this tattooing, you know. This is not tattoo, I don't know how they do it, but they do it on. Which means what? They're completely dedicated for the purpose of attaining Mahavishnu. That's it, nothing else. Complete surrender. So, with arms on all sides, we are the arms. So when I understand that I am the spoke in the wheel of life, then what? Vishnu is already talked about as Dharma. Then my job is what? In the chakra called Dharma, I am a spoke. One spoke. And so many spokes. So, what is my job in the chakra of Dharma? You are a painter, paint. You are a lecturer, lecture. You are a business person doing this business, do that. But according to your work, whatever comes, accept and don't compare with others, developing desires and trying to put people down, going up. Don't get into all that nonsense. Now when you do that, you will be happy and happily serving and everybody will be happy, and this is how the society should continue. So this attitude is something that we get from the scriptures and the shastras, all these various shastras, even bhakti shastras. That is most important. In schools and colleges, you get the intelligence. You are also supposed to develop the right attitude. You know, many of the organizations, they are finding it difficult to retain the employees. Just for few thousands of increment, they go to another company after having got trained for so many years. And they are from IITs and IIMs and all that. So they are, what is this? How to do this? How to go about the attitude? So with arms on all sides, Vishwabahu, Mahavishnu, they are all his arms. So in this, there is no arm that is less or more. Every arm is his arm only. Mahidaraha, the bearer of earth. Mahi means both earth and worship. So Mahidaraha means the bearer of earth. Also he accepts the worship of all the devotees. This is the meaning. So, bearer of earth means what? We are living on earth. And we are living sustained by everything that is provided by earth. And that very earth is supported by Mahavishnu. Therefore, I am just a small speck in the total. So when I understand that, with humility, I execute my activities. Next shloka. Achyuta pratita pranaha. Pranado vasa vanujaha apa nidira dishtanam apramatta pratishtitaha achyuta pratita pranaha pranado vasa vanujaha apa nidira dishtanam apramatta pratishtitaha achyutaha. Achyutaha means one who is never fallen. That is one of the explanations for this nama, Achyuta. One who is never fallen from that state of supreme being. Achyuta. So, here the translation in the book that I gave you says one who is without the six transformations beginning with birth. You know, birth, growth, disease, decay. All these changing things is not there for him. Which means what? He's never born. What do we understand from this? Even this translation is saying the same thing as what I said. Achyuta means one who has never fallen. So when he says one who is without the six transformations beginning with birth. Birth, growth, disease, decay, change, death, all that. What do we understand from that? According to Shastra, birth is considered as what? Birth is considered as? What?
Can you please repeat the question?
Achyuta is the Nama, 318th Nama. And the explanation for that given in the book I gave you is one who is without the six transformations beginning with birth, Janma, Mrityu, they don't have all that, right? So he says, Vishnu is beyond birth, growth, disease, decay, death, all these transformations are not there for Vishnu. That's why he's called as Achyuta. So one who is without birth, that's what it means. So as per our Shastra, how do they value birth? How do they look at birth? What do they consider birth as?
Something temporary.
Oh. Okay.
The changing part as opposed to the unchanging part.
Yeah, birth is considered as a fall. You have fallen from being Brahman and you have fallen to this level where you consider yourself to be this limited individual. So it's a fall. And the Shastras are giving the knowledge to rise. Now, we are all doing whatever we are doing here. For what? Somehow to extend our stay. 100, 105, 150, 175. Imagining. Don't know. So their whole idea is trying to extend. But Shastras are not afraid of death. Shastras are afraid of birth. I already told you this many classes.
Guruji, what did you say? Shastra is afraid of
birth.
Birth.
Death is not the problem. Birth is the problem. Because Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu Dhruvam Janma Mrutasya Cha. For the one who is born, there will be death. So, the problem is the birth. And the cause of the birth is, what is the cause of the birth?
Unfilled desires.
And scars.
Huh, what is another word?
Vasanas.
Correct. Vasanas. The cause of the birth is vasanas. So the problem is vasanas. You've got to get rid of the vasanas. But we are perpetuating vasanas. So therefore, achyutaha, one who's never fallen, one who's never fallen into this conditioning, we have fallen into this conditioning. This is the problem. We are conditioned by the senses and the mind. All our vision is through the window of the senses and mind. We see it from that angle only. We are conditioned. We take sides all the time. You go to these news channels. See, I always ask people, what is the first thing you got to do to protect yourself from coronavirus? Anybody?
Stop watching the news.
Absolutely correct. Just stop watching all these news things. They'll put more fear in. The fear will remove the immunity and then you will definitely succumb to all these viruses and this and that. Of course, you do all the other things that the doctors say, but first thing is stop all these negative things. So the point is, the moment you condition this way and that way, either for or against, Shri Krishna is never for or against. He is always Dharma. Dharma is not static, it's dynamic. You understand? It's not static. Like I always explain to you, you have taken the principle of not saying lies. That's correct. But while the class is going on, a young girl comes running and hides and says, some thugs are coming to molest me. Please save me from them. Don't tell them that I'm here. And they come in. You have taken the verb to speak the truth. Will you say, yes, she's here? Or will you say no? That depends, right? Supposing you had AK-47 with you, or you are like the WWF fellows, you'll say, yes, she's here, but you better go away from here, otherwise I'll finish. You don't have anything. You say, we don't know anybody, Baba, nobody came here. Because you are interested in dharma, and in the context you might have to say she's not here. But you're not lying. You've got to understand this. Why you have to, far or against? See the context, what is right? Be in the present. Be alive. Be fresh always. So, achyuta, never conditions. No conditioning. Sri Krishna is called as Ranachod Das. He leaves the battlefield and gone. That's what Ranachod Das means, right? People laugh, "Arey yaar, what is this fellow? He ran away." Arjuna and all the fellows said, they will fight. Therefore he said, okay, I will not fight with weapon. You fight, no problem. When Arjuna said, I will not fight, then he said, okay, I'll take the Sudarshan Chakra. Then he said, what is this fellow? He said, he will not fight with weapons. Now he's taking up weapons. Arey, you fellows also said you will fight with weapons. You don't want to fight now. You fellows can change your stance to protect dharma. So dharma is dynamic. It cannot come conditioned. This is something that we got to learn. Become conditioned. The big headache. So Achyuta, he can never be put in center, right, left, nothing. Understand? When a person is walking on the rope, sometimes they tilt on the left side, sometimes they tilt on the right side. They have no interest in tilting on the right side or the left side. Their idea is to walk on the rope and go to the other side. Similarly, you are all the time stuck to dharma. Sometimes you have to go this side, sometimes you have to go that side. Why you want to, put people in one this thing? No. Any thinking fellow cannot be conditioned like this. In the context, I have to be original. I don't know what is the situation. The data has changed, so I have to think originally. In maths, you cannot always give an answer and then try to fit the, it depends on the data, right? So therefore, Achyuta, one who is never conditioned by any of these, no changes can condition, is unconditioned. You are unconditioned actually, but because you do not know that, you get conditioned. Easily we get conditioned. And then, this is right, that is right. So, Pratitaha. Next nama, one who is famous because of his works like creation of the worlds, etc. So he is one who is never fallen, but out of him the world has emerged, and he is the one who lends sentiency to that world. And he is renowned because of that, on the account of creation of the universe. So without falling, he allows the creation to come out of it. That's what it means. Pratita. Nobody who is conditioned can bring about something that is worth appreciating. It will be a reproduction. But the original thinking fellow will come up with something new. So this creation, in this creation, always there is no repetition. Repetition in the sense, the same thing is not born again. There is some difference. So, he is renowned on account of the creation, etc. of this universe. It's called Pratita. And Pranaha. Prana means life. He is the life energy of all beings. It is the Prana of Prana. We studied this in the Keno Upanishad, no? Pranasya pranaha, chakshusha chakshu. Eye of the eye. Ear of the ears. Prana of the prana. Pranasya prana. So the pranas sustain us, but the pranas themselves are sustained by Brahman. So therefore, he is called as Pranaha, and next is Pranadaha. Pranadaha means the life giver. When the pure consciousness enlivens the matter, life gets its the matter gets its sentient capacity. Per se, matter has no ability to be sentient. When the Atma functions through it, then you see. So therefore, Pranadaha, one who bestows prana, not only on us, on asuras and devas also. And when he wants to destroy them, he withdraws them. So Pranadaha, Vasavanujaha. Vasavanujaha means the younger brother of Indra. Younger brother of Indra is referred to Vamana Avatara. So, Vasavanujaha, referred to the Vamana Avatara, where he came as a small boy. He was so small. He went and asked Mahabali land which he could measure with his 3 steps. He immediately gave. But his guru, Sukracharya, was saying, don't give, don't give. He said, I am given. That's it. He said, don't give because it's Vishnu. Then Vamana Avatara grew into Vishwarupa. With one step, he measured the whole of earth. With another one, whole of heavens. Third step, he said, where do I keep my feet? He said, keep it on my head. All these scriptures are only saying, ego is something that needs to be destroyed. So, when we say, we follow a particular culture, what is that culture? Swamiji also named the trust as Vedanta Cultural Foundation. The trust in Mumbai that he founded is called Vedanta Cultural Foundation. The trust we have in Delhi is called Vedanta Institute Delhi. So first, when he conceived of the trust, he conceived it as Vedanta Cultural Foundation. What is the culture of Vedanta? What is Vedanta culture? Culture means, you know, like in the medical term, you say culture test. You want to see what is growing, what bacteria is growing, what virus is growing. You know, so growth of a cell. There, what are you really growing? What culture? So what is Vedanta culture? Vedanta culture is destruction of ego and growth of awareness. That you, me and all of us, immaterial of our power, position, color, creed, caste, sex, we are all one. It is Atma. We are all one. That is Atma. That awareness. When that awareness comes, when there is no second, how can there be all these destructions and all kinds of terrorism? See everything that is there. So therefore, he calls it as Vedanta culture, which is the destruction of the ego. And it is not that you will have ego only when you do wrong things. When you do good things, for example, that I am given. I have given. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage. It is from the garden of the Lord we have taken and we are giving. That should be there. So in fact, the more you have, the more you should feel that it belongs to the Lord. I am only a trustee. So it is more, I am more responsible to make sure that the abundance is distributed dharmically. So in any field, when you have more means, you have more responsibility. But unfortunately, when you do not have this knowledge, you will not have the right attitude. And you think, I have more, now I can control, I can enhance this more, all this nonsense. So when you read these namas, Vasavan, Ujaha, Vaman, Avatara, the story behind that, then what is it? It is talking about destruction of ego and growth of awareness in the individual. Next, Apam Nidhihi. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am ocean among lakes. So, apam nidhihi means ocean, collection of water, Voshan means what? Infinite. No beginning, no end. No birth, no death. And the treasure house from the ocean, enormous amount of water is constantly evaporating. Makes no difference to the ocean. So, it is a treasure house. It's infinite. So, you are that. But today, you think I'm limited. Somehow, you know, when somebody says you are infinite, you doubt that. But you, somebody calls you as useless, nothing, finite, you're happy. But apam nidhi, the treasure house of water, the ocean. So you are the treasure house. From you, everything has come out. You are the ocean among lakes. You are the infinite, which has no beginning or end. Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the foundation or the mainstay, the seat of the support for everything. Like the screen in the movie theater. Without the screen, no movie can be projected. Whether it is tragedy or comedy or thriller, whatever it may be. Without the screen, no projection is possible. So this projected world is upon an adhishtanam. And what is that? Brahman. On Brahman, this material world is projected. And Brahman is the material cause. This is why he says, all beings are in me. I am not in them. They are in me. I am the cause. I am the adhishtana. I am the support. If I remove the mud, how can there be pots? So, the reason the forms of various pots, various sizes are existing is because of the mud. Adhishtanam is the mud. So, we forget that support all the time. We think it's me and mine. So when I am rooted in that support, then nothing can really affect me. See, like from a relative point of view, whatever I am talking now is knowledge given by my guru. It is due to guru's tapas, he gains the knowledge and that tapas he shared with all of us. So, when I am talking, I should never forget the Adhishtana, which is the Guru Mandala, my parents' contribution, the society's contribution, everything. The Adhishtana, then that is a cultured person. So, you may be highly intelligent, like Einstein, he says, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? That these are the real things that always keeps you grounded. And a person who is grounded, however high he may fly, he will not have any problems. So therefore, Adhishtanam is another nama of Mahavishnu. Apramattaha, one who is always vigilant in awarding the fruits of actions to those who are entitled to them. Now, Ishvara is the Lord who gives the result to each one of us according to our contribution. We may think that I have gotten less. Always you think like that. Isn't it? How much ever you get, you always think that I have come over here. This is what happens every time we get. When we get things free also, you're still not happy. Why? I got three, correct, no problem. But I should have actually got five free. But I got only one. Lord, it never happens. He beautifully makes sure everybody gets what one deserves. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. Problem is, we desire. But we get according to what we deserve. So he is called as apramattaha, the vigilant in apportioning the fruits of action to the recipients. Beautifully, make sure you get it at the right time, how much you should get it, what you should get, when you should get, everything is taken care of by the law of causation. Your mind may agree, your mind may not agree. That's a different matter. Therefore, it's called as apramatta. So you are getting in life according to what your actions are. Which means what? You're punished or rewarded by your actions. You're not punished or rewarded for your actions. So if you have this attitude, if you understand this and if you accept Lord as apramattaha, then how will you receive what you get? With what bhav do you receive? Anybody? With what bhav do you receive? When you go to the mandir, the person is distributing the prasad. You receive the prasad with your eyes closed.
Gratitude.
Yeah, with gratitude, you close your eyes and you receive the prasad. You don't say, I should have got more, I should have got less, nothing. Which means your ego is getting involved.
It's samarpan bhav, right?
Yeah, Brahman knows, Ishvara knows. And I say Brahman means Ishvara. What you should get, when you should get. So you understand this, then you will not be worried about is it coming, not coming. You will continue doing your work. So apramattaha, pratishthitaha, one who supported and established in his own greatness. A Brahman doesn't require anybody else's claiming it to be great. It is well established in its own supreme glory. You understand? It abides in his own glory. Doesn't require any other glory. Whether you recognize it, you don't recognize, doesn't matter. Whether you recognize the glory of painters like Van Gogh or not, his glory was there. We were ignorant. But they didn't bother about whether they are being recognized or not. All that time, in the newspapers and here and there, they talk. When somebody is awarded with some award, Vivarat Ratna, this or that, they say, oh, this is all bakwas, you know, just favoring somebody, not favoring them. All these kinds of nonsense. And sometimes it happens. Some of the sports persons probably are not recognized. And in the poem, Andrew Sato, by Robert Browning says, less is more. Really valuable stuff is not known. Mass only knows that which is not really valuable. Really valuable is known by few people. Very few. Mass only knows all the stuff which are very low. This is the problem. That's why very few people are takers for Atma, Brahman, this and that. But if you really think, you understand, Apam Nidhihi, if I can reach that Apam Nidhihi, which is the treasure house, the ocean, then there will be immense potential in me which will be released at all times. As a result, there can be greater things that can be achieved. So, therefore, Pratishthitaha, one who is established in his own glory. See, to the extent you become strong, you know your worth. You thereafter don't fall for flattery or somebody else praising you, whether they gave award, did not give, it doesn't matter. And the fact that they didn't recognize, your contribution will not reduce. You will be surprised if they recognize you. Because how can the service of an unconditioned be recognized by the conditioned people? It's not easy. Not at all easy. So, when you are in that level, your strength is so independent. That's the real strength. You know your glory. You do not want somebody else saying you are good or bad. It doesn't matter. You know what you have written in the exam paper. How does it matter whether you are given so much marks or not? But you know what you wrote. So you are not interested in even seeing the result. That's what he's saying. Pratishthita. One who is established in his own glory. Not wanting to be known in this world by the limited conditioned people. And not that he will stop the contribution simply because the limited conditioned people don't recognize him. No. These are all people, these are all work that is done by weak people. Oh, you didn't recognize? Okay, I'm withdrawing. Obviously, they are not recognizing because they are weak. See, majority of us are rajasic. Therefore, we go by the expressions. Go by the expressions. You see, in this world, if somebody is doing some service and they spent, let's say, 1 crore in distribution, the advertisement for that one distribution, when they advertise it, they spend 10 crores. It's a very interesting thing. Real people who are doing real service are quietly doing. But in any field, very quietly they are working. You go to the depth of the ocean, it's silent, it's quiet. Only when you come to the surface, there's commotion. It's noise. So when you operate at the surface level, there's too much noise. This thing, that thing, nobody. Actually, there's less contribution. More of advertisement. Quietly go about doing your business. This is culture. Your presence will not be known. And many people are there who we have no clue. We don't know. Because of them, we are having a nice life now. You know, they fought for our freedom and they've given us this. But we have destroyed it. So this is the culture that the Shastra is trying to develop in each one of us. So when he says Pratishthitaha, he is the Supreme. The Supreme is established in his own glory. I'm not bothered whether you recognize or not recognize. So the more and more you become one with Vishnu, to that extent, you will also be established in your own glory. Just go about doing what you have to do, whether they are praising you or not praising you, whether benefits are coming, not coming, you can. And already we studied what? Apramattaha. Apramattaha means what? The benefit that has to come will come. If not come means what? You're still not worthy of it. So why think about it? You continue doing. So this is the beautiful attitude that you will develop. Pratishthita. Established in one's own glory. See, the more you go to the height, the number of people will be less. If you come down, there are too many. As you climb, when you climb the highest, then you will be all alone. When you become Brahman, only Brahman exists. So as you keep climbing, very few people recognize you. This is the biggest problem, you know. We are putting an effort to climb. And as you are climbing, you might have to say no to certain things. And when you say no, supposing you are invited for a wedding, you say no. You are saying no, not because you hate them or anything. You actually wish them well. You really want the couple, their children to live long, happily, all that. But you are busy with something higher. As a result, you are not able to go. So you will say no. And especially a person who is having a higher goal and vision and working for that, in many situations, they might have to say no. Now, some of the people, they won't recognize that. Why you are saying no? They are not coming. So then you say, if I don't go, they'll think. So if you give in to that, then you cannot grow. So when you grow, you must understand that there will be people who will not be able to understand you. If you are not ready for that, you cannot grow. Not possible. You will not be able to say no. And then you will be weak, continue, tripping, suffer. So the moment you understand that, as I grow, I need to understand that there will be more people who may not understand me. They will only understand as long as you are pampering, catering to them in some form or the other. Till then they cannot. So, you continue. When they are also growing, then to that extent they will understand you. It's like, you know, you are climbing a mountain. You go to the next peak, they can't see you. When they come to the peak of their mountain, then they can see you. So, when they are putting in effort and climbing, they will understand. Those who are stagnating, those who are not putting in effort, they will not. So if you become too much mindful about them, you also will not go. This is a problem now. You want the world to understand you that you are doing the right thing. Many of us want certificate that I am doing the right thing. What will the world think? A lot of people ask, sir, the course that you studied in the academy, after you finish, what is that they give you? Do they give you a certificate? And if you say yes, they give certificate. The next question, you know what they ask? Is it recognized by any of the well-known universities? They want the next thing is certification, recognized. Because you're looking for jobs. Your thinking is like that. So, when you are convinced that you are on the path of growth, you are established in your own growth, in your glory, you are convinced, you don't become dependent on others' certificate. This is not ego. That is different. I know everything. I'm not talking from that angle. Obviously, when you are in a certain height, fellow at the base cannot see you, but when he puts in the effort to climb, then they'll see. So it's very difficult. Many times when you take decisions and people will be criticizing, only when they come to the right, then they'll see that. Otherwise they will. You will function out of the strength that you get from within. That's the difficult part. That's why a lot of people succumb and then they go to the easy method. So pratishtitaha. We can stop here and continue next week. Om Purnamadha Purnimidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakate Svabhava Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami.